verse when we were closing the service, and I want to start with that verse today. That's Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. And last week I spoke on how to be full of the Holy Ghost, stay full of the Holy Ghost. And this week, listening to the Holy Spirit, and I think you'll see right away in this just a small part of the book of Acts how that will work out. And how encouraged we are to listen to the Holy Spirit. Praise God. How many remember from last week the Holy Ghost is a big deal?
Yes.
Big deal. Big deal in our lives as Christians. And verse 2 says, "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Lord said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Now, as you look down the next verses that we're not going to read, you see a journey that ends up being Paul and Barnabas's first missionary journey that lasted about 3 to 3.5 years. And so this work that they were separated to was a big thing, and it was a beginning of Paul's missionary push. And of the journeys, I'm pretty sure he did 2 or 3. He might have done even more. But because of the push of Paul's missionary journeys, finally the gospel gets up into the European area where we probably have our ancestry, and we have the gospel that was covering the world. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for your word today. Give us perfect understanding of your word, and Lord, encouragement that in our lives that we see your supernatural power helping us each and every day, and that Lord, your spirit will come alive within us. Lord, give us the hope that we need from you today, and the strength and the courage, Lord, to live this life you've called us to. We honor and give you glory. Amen. So really, I'm just going to be talking about here for a while the first half of this, that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, and then we'll leave really the missionary part of that alone, but understanding how do we come to the point to where we're hearing from the Lord. And everyone has ideas of daily devotion, and what should we be doing? You know, how much of the Word of God should we read? How long should we pray? And I think that's up to individuals. I think God can work that out with you, and I don't think it has to be mandated. The more you mandate, the less you get, so just leave that between God and people. But the words ministering to the Lord are so important. And what does that mean? We minister to the Lord in different ways. In one way, we praise the Lord. And I appreciate our praise and worship. I appreciate Sherry and Audrey leading us, and Debbie and Donnie and Jim, and then Claire also. Becky, everyone that has a part, we appreciate your ministry to us in helping us to worship. And I've been to some big meetings late last year, and I thought, oh, this makes home so much better, because their worship to me was chaotic. Instead of giving glory to God, I felt like it was a big performance and people were just participants or people watching, not participants, but just watching from the outside. When we come together as a church, we worship as a team, as a family, as a church. And that's the way that it should be. And the songs. I love that song of the praise coming from the throne, amen? And that we also get to join with heaven today in our worship to the Lord. So we minister through praise, which mostly is thanking the Lord for what he's done for us. That's all right. That's a good thing. And then there's worship. Worship is more worshiping the Lord for who he is, for his character. Not necessarily what have you done for me lately, but who he is. And if we have any doubt who he is, you can open the words of God, the word of God, and you can find out how glorious, wonderful, powerful, and almighty he is. And then that leads us to a place of communion or fellowship with the Lord, a real one-on-one that we can have with Almighty God. Jesus died so that we could have that close fellowship. You remember when Jesus died that the veil of the temple was rent or torn asunder, and they say it would have taken unbelievable force to have done that. Man could not have done it, but God broke open the Holy of Holies because Jesus' blood was going to gain every man the privilege that only a high priest had once a year. And not only that, but the high priest, if he wasn't doing right, would be drug out from under the curtain because God expected holiness to enter into that place. And today, it's not that we're perfect by any means, but the blood of Christ covers us and removes sin, and we get to fellowship with the Lord. And before we minister to other people, before we go out and, change the world, we need to minister to the Lord. We need to praise and worship and fellowship with God. That's our number one goal and obligation, ministering to the Lord. And as all of these gentlemen did it, you notice I left out that first verse. If you want to read it, go on ahead. It's got all of these different names that are difficult to pronounce, but these are leaders at that time, teachers and prophets. And as they ministered to the Lord, then the Lord spoke and gave specific direction. Now you can go and minister to the world. Remember when Jesus was gathering his followers up to be filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, don't go, don't do, don't anything until you're endued with power from on high. And so when we minister to the world, we need to have the ministry of the Lord already completed in us and worshiping and praise. And before we minister to the church or to the world. Now, I read a little book yesterday that was by this title, Ministering to the Lord. The first time I heard these verses ministered was in this church by Brother Smith, and it was over 40 years ago. Real 40 years or a little bit more. What a memory I have. I wish I remembered every word he spoke because it was an amazing sermon. And then when I saw and Brother Smith's whole message was about there are times that we really need to hear from God and we need to make whatever effort that that we have to. And he spoke of actually laying down on the floor. That's really what worship seems to denote, is to get down on our face before God and seek his power and his mercy. And when you're at that point, then God will speak to you, and there's hope for each one of us as a church. And the little book that I read was along that same line of you really have to minister to God and seek God and give your all and focus and everything to the Lord. But one of the things that book says is that the baptism of the Holy Ghost was given to us to help us to worship the Lord, which is our first big job, is to minister to God. And that when you speak in tongues, who are you speaking to? Are you speaking to one another? No, we don't understand what someone would be speaking in tongues. Are you speaking to the world? The world doesn't understand tongues any better than they understand the mercy of Jesus. Matter of fact, they mock it. And someday they'll stand before God and God will say, you did what? You mocked my gifts? And it's a big judgment thing. It's not a good thing to mock God. But we are given the tongue so that we can minister in a heavenly language to our Father that hears everything. The scripture says when you don't know how to pray, that the Spirit makes groanings and intercessions for you. You don't know what you're saying, but you know one thing. You're getting the mind and the heart of God involved in your situation. So we're praising the Lord. And who's hurt most by us speaking in tongues? Really, one another, not hurt at all. We're blessed when we have a fellowship that allows God's supernatural to prevail, to happen, I guess. But the devil doesn't like it. And that's why he fights it so much. And I'm not saying that we need to speak in tongues a whole service. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is we need to realize that we have a gift that the Lord has given us to communicate with Him, and it's perfectly all right anytime we want to speak in tongues and to praise and glorify the Lord. Donnie Schweigert was preaching this morning, and he was preaching, but he mentioned the Alabama-Georgia final that happened last Monday. How many saw that? How many's got it taped and we'll see it later? Well, good. Then I'll go ahead and tell you that Alabama at halftime was down, I think, 13-0. It was something like that. They hadn't scored anything at all the first half. And so the second half, they had a new quarterback who was a freshman who had only played, according to Donnie Schweigert, and I believe he's probably right, that only 10 minutes before this game. But they put that kid in, and the first thing he did was score when he had the opportunity, and he kept scoring and kept moving the team down the field. And they asked him afterwards, how do you feel? And he said, wait a minute. First of all, I have to give glory to Jesus Christ, my Savior, because He helped me. And then somewhere, I think beyond, a little later, they said, how were you so calm? And he said, every time I got ruffled, I just started speaking in tongues. And I asked Debbie, I said, what did he say? I said, what? And you know why? Because God is supernatural. And when we have situations that are just absolutely natural, we don't know how to fight against them. How many's ever come up against battles you don't know how to deal with? Here's a way. Come against those things in the Spirit of God, whether it's speaking in tongues or whatever that the Holy Spirit wants to do, let Him do it. Amen? Because the Spirit is able to conquer. Now, excuse me, in the book of Revelation. How many's familiar with that last book of the Bible? Chapters 2 and 3. It said over and over and over and over again, 7 times. He who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Each church was given this encouragement. Excuse me. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Each message was specific to a church and to a church age, going all the way from the beginning of the church all the way until the rapture, possibly even until the end of the tribulation when Jesus comes back, and until Jesus takes over the whole earth and sets up millennial kingdom. But in each of these verses in chapter 2 and chapter 3, it's the same thing. He who has an ear. We all have ears. I've only met one man that the whole time, and on one side he didn't have an ear. But he could hear still. He could hear quite well. And he's a minister, and he was also a lead carpenter and a contractor. God has given us ears to hear, and then He's given us a special sense because of the Holy Spirit to hear what the Spirit says and how the Spirit directs. We have fruits of the Spirit, which are all good: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and we have gifts of the Spirit whereby we minister to the whole church through these different gifts of healings and miracles and ministries and words of wisdom, word of knowledge, and prophecy, and all that the Lord has ordained. That gives us a booster, a turbo booster to all that we do for the Lord. Now, there are two ways to handle our serving the Lord. One is by ourselves, and we can do that. Excuse me, one more time, hopefully. We've been going to church a long time. We can come, we can do our thing like we always do. We can sing, we can pray, we can witness, we can share, we can teach, we can preach, we can end the service, and we can pray. We know how to do church. But it's so much better when we give the Lord the opportunity to minister to us and to speak words that's not a part of our thinking. A lot of times my thinking needs some interruption from the Lord, because I get so overwhelmed with the world and the things that are going on, and it makes me angry for God. And if I were God, I think Becky and I were talking about this the other day, if I were God, there would be very few people. I was at Home Depot, I think, when I was talking to her, and I said there would be nobody at Home Depot in the way for me to get what I want to get. But we're not God, but at the same time, we belong to God. And if we submit to the Lord and open our ears, He will speak to us and direct us and bless us with information and help and strength. He will do the impossible that we can't do. And I believe with all of my heart, He will give us the physical strength and stamina, that's close, to get the job done. And I appreciate the restoration power of the Lord that helps us to do what we're not physically able to do, and give us the wisdom and the guidance so that we can go beyond what the world might even expect, because of the anointing and the power and the Spirit of God as we minister to the Lord. And not it, so there is the way where we do it our way, but the way when we submit to the Lord and let Him minister through us and let Him use us and let Him anoint every word we sing, we pray, we preach, we teach, and it will come out so much better, and it will really do a good job for the people who have needs and who need hope. And I was praying last night, and I said, Lord, I'm kind of needing a little hope. I need to see your power in both in our church. We need hope. Lord, intervene in our situation and show us your power. And after a while, I almost begin to feel sorry for the world, because sometimes it looks like that they are bigger than us, and that we don't stand a chance. But I'm going to tell you what, folks, we're on the side of the Lord, and we are going to be victorious. And through every situation, you know what? The devil can kill us and take us out. And all that does is release us to our heavenly home and give us the opportunity to live forever and ever and ever with the Lord. It's a big thing that the Lord died so that we could fellowship with Him. And we want to make sure that we don't leave Jesus unattended for that fellowship, that we do our part and fellowship with the Lord. In the book of Isaiah chapter 40, how many has heard this before? You're about to hear it again. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Have you not known? I love this. I heard, that's the trouble, trying to remember somebody's name. The trumpet player. What's the trumpet player's name? Phil Driscoll. I heard him do this on a recording, and he read this part, and then he sang They That Wait Upon the Lord, which is an awesome song. Have you not known, and have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? You kind of get a feeling of, wow, that's our God. Neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. You know, sometimes it seems that God takes the underdogs of the world to show that he is mighty. And that's all right with me, because I feel like sometimes I'm a big underdog, but I need the help of the Lord. So he takes those who are, or gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. My experience with young people working today is very disappointing. They seem to have no oomph at all. We used to run to get the chance to work, and we worked as long as we were asked to. And yet today the youth seem to get tired after 2 minutes and are ready for their first break. The youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord. Now this word wait, I think, is very similar to ministering unto the Lord. It's taking time and totally focusing on he and his power. Who wait upon the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isn't that amazing? As we get older, those things, walking and fainting, kind of have some meaning. When I was young, I could run and not get weary, and walk a long way and not be that tired. But when we wait upon the Lord, we're going to have strength. A few weeks ago, probably about 2 weeks ago, I had a dream. And Debbie and I were on a cruise ship. Debbie, a cruise ship. And someone was flying. And I said, Lord, I want to fly too. And I began to fly from the top deck of the cruise ship. I went around all over the water, and I was flapping my arms, but that wasn't the thing. That wasn't what it was. Now, I don't know the meaning of this, but I do tell you this. Flying is cool. Flying is cool. I mean, just to be able to go. And I know they have jetpacks and all that stuff. I'm a little bit worried about those jetpacks. What goes up must come down. But I don't know why I had this dream, but I flew all around and came back and was on the ship. And I thought, well, now everybody's going to want to know how that was. And then I woke up. So I didn't get to share the experience that much until now. But we are not going to fly physically, but we can soar like an eagle for the Lord. And we can show such power that it's beyond us physically, and beyond us mentally, and beyond us in every way, and demonstrate and have a testimony of how great God is. Worshiping and seeking the Lord opens doors that we otherwise won't see opened. May not be a door that's for you. I've really been praying for Mike and Candace that the Lord would open a door for them. Because I know how they feel. They feel like everywhere they look, things close down. But the Lord is able to open them a door. And we need to pray for that, that God will answer that prayer. God has things and means that we know nothing of. And then we'll make this choice every day. Am I going to do it myself, or am I going to lean on the Lord? In Romans 8, chapter 14 through 17, the scripture says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, daughters, don't be dismayed. We're all sons and daughters of God, and it doesn't matter. The scripture gives us plain hope for all of us, men and women, that when we wait before the Lord and when we're led by the Spirit of God, we belong to him, a very close belonging. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, or Papa God, a closeness to our Father God. God is our Father, but He's not way off millions of miles. He's right there for us to fellowship with. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And this is where we're going to end this morning, in that we become joint heirs with Christ. And all the things that God has, and that Jesus died so that we could call out Abba Father, Papa God. Jesus said, when you pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And to me, that more or less says, before we begin to ask the Lord, how many ask the Lord for things every day? I do. I mean, the Lord's probably saying, oh, here He comes again. He's going to want some. And it's true. I am going to want something. But I want to make sure that my balance is not out of whack to where I'm wanting something more than I'm giving Him honor and praise and glory. Because we all know when someone wants us to do something, how many likes to be buttered up first? And thanked afterwards. And I think these are good things for us to come before God with honoring Him and ascribing to Him His worth and His power and His greatness. And it'll also kick up our faith level to where we'll know our God can do anything. Our God can do anything. And as we are ministered to and the Lord touches us in our spirit and speaks to us and gives us direction, we need to come back to say, thank you, Lord, for the direction you've given, for the help that you've given, for the clarity to the situation. Sometimes it's hard to understand what in the world's going on, what's happening. And the Lord's able to give us that clarity. And we can rejoice in the closeness that we have with the Lord, that we are His and He is ours. And He wants to fellowship with us, and He wants to fellowship with us on a everyday type basis. He wants us to come before Him and love Him and minister to Him and with our heart. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be the greatest singer, but you can hum something before to the Lord. And it doesn't matter if you know all of the Word of God or not, but you can think those scripture that you do know. And let that be in your heart. Let that be a part of us and fellowship with Almighty God. And who knows what He's going to call us to do, but every one of us have a calling, and we need to do that. And we are a witness no matter what we want to do about it. We are a witness to the world. And the Lord can use our testimony. Everybody has a testimony that can lift up others and help them. I noticed in my life, even as a young Christian, I was real proud to be a preacher and real proud to be a Christian. And I always told people, a lot of people didn't like that too much. We don't care anything about that. That's crazy and over the top. You don't have to do all of that to be right with God. That's their thought. God may have a different thought completely. But when those people that complained the most needed something, they always would come and say, you know what, I need prayer. I've got a situation. And I thought, yeah, this is why we testify, because people know where to come. And Jesus had died for the opportunity to help them. And thank God that we can be a part of that. Amen. Thank God we can be a part of that. Debbie, would you come to the piano? And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto or which I have called them. Lord, we're thankful for your word. And I pray that our hearts be stirred with what we've heard and that, Lord, you'll touch and bless us. We honor you with everything that we are. We honor you, Jesus. We praise you. And I pray, Lord, that we will be every day drawn to a time of just looking unto you. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, as we need answers for our church and we need answers in our own lives, I pray that you'll open doors and that you'll give revelation, that you'll give understanding, that you will lead us, that you will guide us. Lord, that as we come up against situations where we don't have the strength to bear it, give us strength. And let us mount up with wings like eagles. Let us run and not be weary and walk and not faint. Lord, you're able to minister to every life. We're so thankful that you're so near today. So near today because we've come before you with our praise and our prayer. And Lord, we give glory to who you are. Strengthen every life. And Lord Jesus, use us to your glory. And let us see your power in souls saved, Lord, and people added to the church daily such as should be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like everyone to find a place to pray. And at your seats is perfectly understandable. But let's pray. Let's seek the Lord for a few minutes before we leave today. Holy God, holy God, holy God. Thank you. 1976, I was laying on the floor in Doug's room. I don't think Doug was born yet, but I was on Saroni and Union, and I was asking the Lord for a job because I didn't have anything steady. And Bobby came, and I think he knocked on the door and said, I've got a name for you to call this guy and go see him. He's got 2 or 3 weeks worth of work. And so I took the number, went out to call the guy, went out to see him. His name was Ed Bancroft. He worked for Lee Holmes. He was superintendent. And I started working there as just cleaning out a backyard, grading it by hand because I couldn't get a tractor in. And that lasted several years. And I got into the union, labor union. And from there, I've been working construction ever since. And I'm thankful that when we call on God, that he gives us life-changing answers. Really, God, you can look in your life and you can, I remember when I was praying in the Spirit and the Lord just said, you need to do this every day for a certain amount of time, and I did it. And during that time, I got the job at Fremont, the biggest job we've ever done. Took 20 months to complete. God answers our prayers. And as we get more serious we get, the more amazing he gets. Amen. Would you stand? Lord, we're thankful for mercy, and we're thankful for each other. Bless this church. Bless your people. And we honor your name. Amen.